Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Hey! Welcome back! It's a new year. It's a new show. And I'm still here. Hey, welcome. It's World Poetry Open Mic. With me, as always, is the man who knows everything about every button over there, is Mr. JT.
I think I know. There's just one over here, though.
As long as it's not...
I put it in. I just don't remember what it did.
As long as it's not the owl sound. That's good.
No. What the?
I didn't hear anything.
No? Okay.
No, just keep going.
All right.
Today we've got
we got some submissions.
Oh, we got submissions.
Yeah.
We've got some more.
I'm back.
Dang
you
it.
Tried to keep me under the table this whole time. I told you you can't. There's no prison that can hold me. Mm-hmm. At least not in this studio. And I have the master key.
Man.
Forgot about that.
I'm back. It's really cramped in there, and I haven't taken a shower in a week or two. So you're just going to all have to deal.
All right.
But I'm back. Thank you, Christine, last week for holding it down. Thank you, JT. I missed all of you. I felt really strange actually not being on the show.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. It's really
good to have you back.
Thank you. So this is the beginning of a new month, beginning of a new year.
Very beginning of a new, lots of stuff.
Yes. A new start. It reminds me of the song Here I Am from Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron.
Spirit Stallion. I think we tied the gag too tight. I think he took an anoxic hit.
Let's hope not.
It's very possible. All right. There's something wrong. If it's not that, it's something else. Anyway, so we have a lot of great submissions. We have a new Poet of the Month this month. Christine, are you aware?
The hell was that?
That every time I say Poet of the Month, so I literally have to say POM when I don't want him to do it.
I was about ready to start looking for another gag.
He will do this. It just over and over and over again. So
I
remember
will
that.
Hurt you.
Anyway, we have all kinds of great things to celebrate, as well as just kind of coming back together and preparing for this awesome year ahead. So before we get into all of that, let me ask JT, how are you doing, buddy? How was your new year?
New Year was good. I went to bed early because I was extremely tired for whatever reason.
Well, you were also out in the cold.
We were out in the cold New Year's Eve, doing our zoo lights.
It was freezing.
It was freezing.
Super cold.
Well, it was like, what, 1-2 degrees?
Something like that.
Yeah, and snowing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I can just feel Mary already shivering, and we haven't even talked to her.
Sorry,
feel
Mary.
Feel the vibrations.
And then, work has been pretty good.
So, good for you. Yeah. Good for you, man. Good for you. Christine, how was your New Year's?
Well, it's just, I know it's the same.
I'm just, it was just, you know, different experience. I get it.
I actually stayed up past midnight only because we have people who like to shoot off fireworks.
Oh, sure.
And we have two scaredy cats and a jumpy dog. And they do not do well in fireworks. And so, yeah, it was, you know, it sounded like a war zone to what I would assume in my inexperience what one would sound like.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
I will never take that away. But, yeah, and then I think I crawled in. God, I think it was like almost 2.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, and then I was up at like 5.
Yeah, that sounds like my... sounds like my experience.
How was yours?
It was good.
You dumped out on Nuvzu lights.
Well, actually, and the reason being for that was we had a power surge. I lost a bunch of the writing on the book right before it was done, so I had to make it up. So I did the work. I finished that, and I literally finished it. Had 5 minutes to prepare before I went to see my brother and sister-in-law play.
Yeah.
So I mean, I worked straight up till it was time to go. Came right back and made sure everything was ready to go. And I mean, it was already kind of processing. And so I felt good, but it was right down to the wire.
How did the show go?
Went great.
Good.
I mean, they did really well, sold it out.
Good.
Nice.
You know, and so it's been a great couple weeks. Christmas was awesome. I got to spend a lot of time with my niece, who's hilarious. And just a lot of really good, my nephew and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's been really a rejuvenating time. That being said, I feel a little strange because I got a book done, I got an album done, and I finished my year of doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with myself. I feel a little naked, to be honest with
you. Well, that would mean put clothes on there, dude.
No, right. But my thing is I feel that because I'm not driving to finish something immediately.
Right.
So
we can always throw you back under the desk.
You'll know.
Back to work.
Hey, put the microphone down, and I'll do this under the desk. All right. Anyway, so enough about all that. We hope everybody listening had a wonderful holiday season as well. We want to keep it going because, you know, technically we haven't hit Epiphany yet. So, you know.
At least it wasn't an apostrophe.
Yes. Well, apostrophe happens in March. Okay. The exclamation point comes in. Never mind. All right. So we're going to get into a few rules with the show before we get into it. These are the 5 rules that just kind of always have been in place, but we just kind of learned to spell them out over time. Number 1 rule, no hate speech. We just don't do that here. Number 2, please skew PG-13. Even though we're not in the business of censorship, we want to make this a friendly place for families and people who want to be able to enjoy poetry and not have to worry about, you know, some of the more blue or adult-themed subjects. If you have something that kind of goes more in that realm, we are having an After Dark segment after the show proper this evening, and that's an appropriate place to share it. Rule number 3, when we come on the air, we bring you on the air. Please be ready. Don't be looking for your poem. Don't be kind of debating. Just choose and be ready. It's just respectful of the other poets and the other listeners. Rule number 4, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. It's pretty easy to figure out how long your poem is. Just look at how long it is. And the very last one, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. The problem is when you're ADD like me, and someone says it on the air, you're not going to remember it afterwards. But if you send it to us in an email at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form, we actually will have it. We'll have it on record, and we will discuss it. We would love to be able to do that. So just make sure you send them to us. That's just the more efficient way to do so. All right. Anybody have anything else to add before we do the call-in?
No, because we got people already calling.
I know. They're hammering it. They know what's going
on.
So we need 5 unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here in the first segment.
Did you really have to do that?
Yeah, I think I got the little.
Yeah, you know, I gotta be honest, man. I've been studying karate, man, and I've been studying kind of the Elvis form of karate.
Did you hear about the guy who was trying to kidnap a lady? I forget. And she ran into a karate studio.
So good. So she, for people who might not have seen this,
I totally missed this.
She was this woman was some guy grabbed her and was trying to throw her in the back of a car.
Okay,
and he's a big guy. She escaped, thankfully.
Yeah,
she ran into the next place that was open, which happened to be a martial arts studio.
Okay,
and there's some kids and some parents, kids waiting to get picked up and stuff, and the head teacher's there. And the guy runs in, or the woman runs in first and says, "This guy's after me. I don't know what's going on." So they're obviously like, okay. Big guy comes in and says, "I'm here for her," whatever. And the head teacher goes, "Well, she's, obviously there's a problem. So why don't you leave? We'll make sure she's fine," And he goes, "No, I'm not leaving without her." And he started kind of getting aggressive and trying to push his way in. So he attacked the teacher. Teacher defended him.
Yeah.
Took him outside.
Good.
Then the guy attacked him again. And long story short, he left in a stretcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody feels
teacher.
And nobody feels sorry for him.
Good, as they shouldn't.
Way to go, teacher.
That's right.
Way to show those kids.
I'm like, awesome.
This is how it's done.
There's one martial arts teacher who's actually been in a fight. Anyway, okay. Sorry, I studied martial arts for a long time. I just have this thing. There's a lot of martial arts teachers who've never actually been in a fight. That'd be like me teaching piano and never touch a piano. Anyway, we've got some great callers lined up. But first, before we do that, we have a submission. Should we do the submission, JT?
Yes.
All right. This is from Namrata Santoki. It's called The Scars. Like the bright moon full of light, beautiful even with its scars, shines brilliant in the silent night. The scars of life hidden deep in the hearts of innumerable mankind. Each has a story to tell of the healing wounds. The wounds of loss of person or a part. The holes in the heart, pain in the periphery, living through the dark nights. The time will pour in through these holes. Hidden cure in your soul will heal and lift you up from the heaps of sorrow. Hope will discover you and make you shine brighter. The light will shower again, just as a beautiful moon with the scars. And that was The Scars by Namrata Santoki. Beautiful piece. If you want to submit like Namrata, you can do so by sending it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form. Just make sure that you indicate that it is a submission for the show. Those are the only two ways to actually get it on the show. Don't send it to me in a Facebook message. Don't just post it randomly to our Facebook page.
Is that why you never respond to me?
Yeah. No, we have people who'll do it all the time, and I really feel for them. I'd like them to be on the show, but you got to read the rules, They're pretty clear. All right. Anyway, let's head in now to a gentleman across the pond. Let's go to Titus. Good morning, Titus. How are you, sir?
Oh. Yes, I did. I just, you'll never guess, I woke up at 3 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness. I think I went to bed around 3 o'clock this morning.
3 o'clock is your starting time, so of course. Okay, it's all set and done. It's I'm on.
Well, we're very, very thankful to have you. And did you have a good New Year and a good Christmas?
Well, I've just recovered from the flu. When I get flu, and the antibiotics, I'm off of now. So yeah, I'm back on track.
Okay.
I've not done much writing. I just done one. Namrata's poem that you read, I couldn't quite hear. I was having volume problems.
Oh, no.
So I'll have to listen to that on the podcast.
It's a beautiful piece, yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Namrata, I actually did a dedication to her. I thought, well, it'd be pretty good because I had everything ready what I was going to say to you, but waking up later, put that all. I was just going to say that everyone on the show has got such a beautiful personality. I don't think I could find better personalities, even if I were to search for it. And such a personality is Namrata's, I found. And as you know, I've done hundreds of dedications. And I thought, well, they keep coming somehow. I think because these people kind of like put words in my mouth. My poetry has come to an end, I feel, because dedications seem to be a way around that. So this is one. It's called godliness she keeps, and dedicated to the Namrata Santoki for her kindness. Chorus. Now, love, the greatest of all virtues are held herein, acknowledged to one and another to keep the idea, maintains an allegiance to pray within this sanctum, reminiscent to the four great wars our hearts infer, apparent scope over whether or not this penumbra tentatively holds a heavenly spirit, but the greatest association with God has been given at the panacea. Softly spoken, her prudence has somehow shown us a healing as such. Her justice is to forgive. Hallelujah. Numerate worth in fortitude, keep it in spite of pain. The comparative luxury of one's friendship, the trust of many like-minded people, as there are a fair ratio. Knee-deep in fortitude, strength in numbers to seek immunity, to relish this freedom, as each is an envoy. Notably, her hope has been this constant companion, a diminishing gain which patience is this her utopia. Modesty is such to gravitate over, and she'll conform, regal majesty, one and all importance, my dear. It acquires you to set these examples to gain the diploma. Testament to you, with a sound mind you hold radiant, a predetermined means to gather such relevant quota. Synchronize your faith virtuous enough, it then conceals anonymity, the way you exceed to rational nirvana. New enlightenment to your dreams appear to have shown, the complete desire is what your happiness will inherit. Opulent study shall fulfill all heart, by way we are unto kindly respond, this stimulus needing to free or unlock. Innovative, kind, delicate, your godliness is found unduly. End of poem.
It's another lovely.
I'm a bit dry-lipped at the moment.
All right. Well, thank you, and you know, another lovely dedication, and you know, those all mean so much. And I'm sure it meant a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting up early and calling us. I know recovering doesn't make that easy.
I got up in a bit of a chizboz, if they could say. But thanks for holding on.
Of course. Anytime.
Cheers.
Anytime. Cheers.
Okay, then.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. And that was Titus Kahn from the UK leading us off. He's called it 3 a.m. That's hardcore. That shows
that's dedication.
That's right.
What's your problem?
I don't know.
Yeah, 375. Come on.
So, you know. Yeah, no dedication. Honestly, you know what the thing is once I finished the book, my first thought was, all right, the next one has to be done by the end of March. I'm not doing it like that anymore. I got to make this more efficient.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't as efficient as it should be. But this is part of the process, right?
So you learn a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So at any rate.
It's good.
Dedication is one thing. I want to do it dedicated with efficiency.
Okay.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's how to be. All right, anyway, let's head to the next wonderful poet. This is a guy's voice I have missed. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania.
Howdy.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I am doing fine. It's been interesting.
I've seen little mentions of your week being a little trying on social media there. So sorry to hear you've been going through that.
Yeah, well, it happens, unfortunately.
It does. I've had it happen to me. So,
hey, at least you didn't get hit by a forklift.
I was just going to say, that's two of
what?
You got hit with a fork. Yeah, he got hit with a forklift.
Why'd you get it? What were you doing?
He bumped into me and I fell.
Okay. How did this?
But I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine.
I thought I heard some. I think I smell some something burning. It's an electrical fire, Jim. So I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad that the forklift didn't, you know, never mind. Anyway, there were so many jokes there and none of them were appropriate. So what do you have for us?
Well, it's one I wrote on the 30th, and I don't have a title for it yet. So I'll just put it out there, and if there's any suggestions, let me know.
Okay.
He is lonely in her presence. The ink is between them that turned to feet, threatened to become miles. As he wearies of winter descending on their affections, the hope of springtime returning seems to slowly slip away. End of poem.
JT, do you have any thoughts on a title for that one?
Not yet, but I am thinking.
Yeah, think about it. Christine, yeah. Do you have anything?
Winter's Love.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't really have any thoughts either. I like that one.
That's
a good suggestion. Anyway, Jim, great job. I like that. I like that piece quite a bit. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we will talk to you during the return engagement, I hope.
Yes.
Good. Wonderful.
You'll talk to one of them.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Hopefully it won't be the spoon lift.
Ah, yeah. Next week.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly, Jim.
Dilly dilly.
By the way, tell the forklift driver I'll give him $20 next episode. No, Jim, I'm totally kidding, buddy.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
I will.
All right, we'll talk to you again.
The Phoenix Stormhold that's in the chat room.
Yeah,
used to be a coworker.
Oh, cool!
Right on.
Well, hello, coworker.
He's working someplace else.
Oh.
I guess he was that desperate to get away from me.
All right. Well, we'll ask him if he calls in. We'll ask him what the real story is. All right. Hey, thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you during the return engagement.
All right.
Bye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Be careful of those forks.
Especially when they lift.
That's what a fork is for, really.
Well, yeah, JT was saying he was going to nickname him Chuck.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's all bad all at the same time.
But you think about
I
it.
I made the joke, and I'm like, man, I shouldn't have made that.
Well, and I shouldn't have made the joke about the thing. But, you know, then again, it's part of my personality.
Personality.
Uh-huh. It's a terrible thing sometimes. All right, anyway.
Oh.
So now people know where we get those drops with you and I, Christine, where JT just turns on the microphone and we record for
hours
and he just edits them. Yep. All right, so now we're going to go to Mama in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, never mind. But it's never appropriate to make jokes about someone being hit with the forklift.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
JT's like stuck his head in a corner right now.
I know. JT is
grounded himself.
He's ashamed of the situation. And it's true. Because the moment we make a joke like that, JT, we're going to get hit by a forklift.
That's right.
Or a knife lift. Even worse.
That's worse, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible. But, Mama.
What about a crazy buck when you're deer hunting?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So, what do you have for us, Mama?
First of all, I got to say hello, Christine, and welcome back.
Hi, Mama.
I have to tell you, you have a good husband there that lets you just be yourself and act the way you want to act. And it's just so beautiful to see couples like that in this day and age. Now,
yeah, he's a keeper.
I'm going to read this piece called Defining Moments. I am redefining myself because I am not who I thought I was. Every time I lose someone, I find I have lost a piece of myself. It was light years ahead, or I was light years ahead of most of my peers, but now it appears that time has stood still. I who have seen, done, knew, and forgotten more than I can describe, find that I have been launched into a dimension that disallows me to see clearly and offers me no answers. My loved ones and my equals are transitioning faster than I can blink, faster than I can think, and those who define me are no more. And the few that know the core of me are also preparing to leave. This person that I am is complex. My earthly work is no longer important, for I have done nothing great. I stay grounded. I stay rooted as a spiritual being in a human body. As a mother, grandmother, a friend to many, a confidant to some, a provider and a teacher and a comforter to others, I am a solid institution within myself. Somehow, I would show up where I was needed. I covered my many flaws with understanding that if I exposed my shortcomings and helped whoever was put in my path, that I could save people from making the same mistakes. What was learned was that people would rather make their own mistakes than land on me in this board game of life. I was too harsh on some, too rigid with others, and too lenient when a firm hand was needed. I'm a bad example. I'm the one whose tolerance card was always full. When your 5 minutes was up, I'd move on. I'm the messenger that was killed. I'm the bitter sister, the unforgiving daughter, the scolding woman. I loved most people from a distance, never allowing anyone to get too close to me. So whose am I? And who am I? I am the termagant, the impatient, the rough draft never finished, the unpolished diamond, the cleverest fox in the pack, the sharpest knife in the drawer. I am the spiritual being doing time in a physical plane. I am the halfway marker. I am the multifaceted, never vain, too sane to be crazy, but I'm crazy like a fox. I know things not best at expressing, so this is who I am. Unsugar-coated and real, unpretentious, a non-believer. I don't even believe that meat is greasy. You have to show me love, not tell me. I'm a person that's been caught in a human trap, been kidnapped, raped, and slapped, accused, abused, beaten down, and trusted, and beaten down by the trusted hands and untrusted men, hands of men. Let me do that one again. Accused, abused, beaten down by the trusted and untrusted hands of men. Let down by friends that stuck around to see what they could get when I hit the ground. But then I was protected by true friends who were my angels that never went too far when I threw my tantrums and give out tongue lashings and character bashings. They stood by and loved me despite of myself. As a matter of fact, if anyone acted the way I'd act, they would see my back. But even though my mama never pampered me, I have been pampered and catered to as if I were a queen. So someone always took up the slack, rather, you know, had my back and got me on track. So who am I? I'm the sum total of everything mentioned, the child of a rambunctious father, the daughter of a resentful mother, now forced into an unblissful marriage. I am that strong sister who resisted the wicked. In peace.
Very, very strong, powerful piece, Mama. As always, we don't expect anything less.
Well, behind all that, I just told you, I guess not right.
Yeah, yeah. But there's real life behind your work. You know, I think that's the thing that just, or the feeling is really authentic, you know, whether it's... Yeah, just appreciated.
My father, I didn't find out. He said, why is he not on any of the wedding pictures? Oh. He was probably outside smoking a cigarette. I'm like, I was just like, wow. So I had to write this because it's just crazy. I mean, I'm just surprised I turned out to be anything because I have even when my mother got Alzheimer's, she still remembered that she didn't like my dad. And whenever I looked like him, she was like, you look just like your dad. Oh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why in the beginning of the program, I told Christine, it's just beautiful that, you know, y'all could be so happy together. And I just love that. It's just like some men just so secure within themselves, they can let their woman be herself. You know, let the person, even though she's a female, and she loves you and you love her. Men feel like they just have to change you. And I just love that. I love them together like that. So that's why I kind of went back and chose that poem. And thank you so much. I'll talk to you on the return engagement.
Wonderful, Mama. Thank you. And we'll see you then. That was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
She brings it.
Every time. It's really, really, really impressive. We love having her on the show. But we got another guy who we love having on the show. And the other thing about this next caller is he has been someone who, when I thought no one was listening to the Daily Podcast,
yeah,
he would make and I would purposely not look at my listener numbers for
right,
long stretches. But he would be someone who would make a comment, and actually it meant a big difference. So let's go to George in Michigan. Good evening, George. How are you?
What a nice intro. Anyway, I was pleased to do it, by the way, Michael, and found them very valuable.
I appreciate that.
I did respond to quite a few of them. But here you guys go again, putting me right after Mama.
Sorry. I didn't even think about it.
We wouldn't do it if we didn't think you could handle it, my friend.
I doubt if I can handle it. She is superb.
Oh, she always is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you have for us?
Can I give you just a brief thing here?
Sure.
Billy Collins, the poet that was twice a poet laureate of the United States, Dennis and a long road trip together last fall, he played a whole CD of Billy Collins pieces, and they're just spectacular, especially when you sort of give them that kind of focus you can in the car, you know, where you hear everything. But the one I'm not going to read is the one I laughed the most at, but this one is Billy Collins talking about his dog that comes back from the beyond, dog that has died. And I'll give it a shot. Billy Collins does his perfect vocal reader of his work, but I'll try. I am the dog you put to sleep, as you like to call it, called the needle of oblivion. Come back to tell you the simple thing. I never liked you. When I licked your face, I thought of biting off your nose. When I watched you toweling yourself dry, I wanted to leap and unman you with a snap. I resented the way you moved, your lack of animal grace, the way you would sit in a chair to eat, a napkin on your lap, a knife in your hand. I would have run away, but I was too weak. A trick you taught me while I was learning to sit and heal, and greatest of insults, shake hands without a hand. I admit the sight of the leash would excite me, but only because it meant I was about to smell things you had never touched. You do not want to believe this, but I have no reason to lie. I hated the car, hated the rubber toys, disliked your friends, and worse, your relatives. The jinglings of my tags drove me mad. You always scratched me in the wrong place. All I ever wanted from you was food and water in my bowls. While you slept, I watched you breathe as the moon rose in the sky. It took all of my strength not to raise my head and howl. Now, I am free of the collar, free of the yellow raincoat, the monogram sweater, the absurdity of your lawn, and that is all you need to know about this place, except which you already supposed, and are glad it did not happen sooner, that everyone here can read and write, the dogs in poetry, the cats, and all the others in prose. Thank you. And that's end of peace. Tilly Collins.
Billy Collins was, you know, I got introduced to, I think, some of Billy Collins back from my father a long time ago. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's funny now when I look back, I hadn't realized that my father used to give me a lot of poetry, and I just kind of assumed it was part of life, like everyone did it.
Yeah,
it's really special now, the more and more I see it. But a great, great choice there.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure to cover it.
Yeah, man. There's so much good stuff out there. Guys, you know that? You know how much good stuff there is and how awesome it is that we keep hearing more and more stuff being created every week as well?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Christine was looking at me like, why are you gesturing like an Italian? Because I'm part Italian. I'm sorry.
Well, I know. I remember the nasty letter you wrote to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, that's true. That was real. Anyway, George won't get that. That was a long time ago. Anyway, George, thank you. Thanks so much for that. And look forward to seeing your return.
As Titus says, cheers.
Cheers. See you, George. Thank you.
See you later.
And that was George calling from Michigan. Did a great cover there. Man. All right. JT, I feel like we should go someplace warm.
Just you.
Just one place? Just me go someplace warm? Or you like the cold weather?
See?
That's what it is.
Actually, yeah. When it gets cold there, I'd be happy.
See, that's the thing. When I walk out, and when it's like New Year's Eve, and I walk out, and it's like 1 degree and snowy, it looks beautiful from inside. But I walk out, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Why? Why am I doing this? So that's, yeah. But then again, I ask that question about myself a lot. So,
okay. All right. I was just kind of wondering
how did I get
that
here?
Right. You know, those are usually the first signs of dementia.
Yes. We've known this for a long time. All right, let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Hello, sirs and cheese.
Cheese.
I almost thought you were going to say sirs and sirzettes, but I like cheese better.
Well, yeah, you know, a servette is a napkin in South Africa.
Oh, that's true, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to go with a she. How's that?
Sounds good. Sounds
that
good.
That works.
How are you, Mary? How's everything going?
I'm fine, and it sounds like you're having a wonderful trio over there. It's nice to hear three on that end. It just
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We agree.
Makes it seem more of a group.
Well, whenever two or more are gathered, there is World Poetry Open Mic. But it is nice when it's you know, more than two.
We're a thruple.
And I'm a girl. What am I going to say? You get the boys, they start talking sports and all this other.
We do.
Not
we do start
I,
talking
I,
sports.
I was an athlete, but, you know, if you get too sporty about it.
Do we get that sporty, Mary? I don't think we get that sporty.
No, you don't get sporty like some boys. You're a lot better than a lot of boys. Never mind.
You're not there in our conversations after the show, though. Yeah.
And that would go to a whole different place, I guarantee you.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So,
all right.
So what do you have for us?
I'm going to do a little Chopin in the background.
All right.
I'm going to play his Raindrop Prelude, Opus 28 to 15. I didn't play it myself, but it is a lovely little piece. And then I'm going to read something that I love. That I didn't write, because I really don't really love that stuff I write. This one's by Rumi. It's called Only Breath. Only breath. Not Christian or Jew or Muslim. Not Hindu, Buddhist, Sufi or Zen, not any religion or cultural system. I am not from the East or the West, not out of the ocean or up from the ground. not natural or ethereal, not composed of elements at all. I do not exist. I'm not an entity in this world or in the next. Did not descend from Adam or Eve or any origin story. My place is placeless, a trace of the traceless, neither body or soul. I belong to the beloved, have seen the two worlds as one, and the one that we call two and known. First, last, outer, inner. Only that, breath, breathing human being. End poem.
Mary, you just combined two of my favorite things, which is Rumi and Chopin. Just beautiful, beautiful choice.
Thank you. Yeah, I played Chopin. I didn't play him well. I don't know why. certain artists appeal to me, and I played Bach. I was very regimental. I was very regimented. See, mm-hmm. Yeah. Chopin, he had too much feeling. I would do him better now. But now I'm into jazz and stuff.
I get that. Well, have you got into playing any Debussy? Because that's really out there.
Oh yes. When you get that heavy, this is a whole different level. It's a whole different level of music.
Yeah, it really is. And I play a lot of Chopin when I'm writing. I started doing that a couple years ago. So
mm-hmm. Everyone should play classical music when they're writing. I swear, this should be like in the one of the laws.
It's a law. Always listening to classical. You must be writing.
Like there's only like one law in my whole book. That's it.
All the other laws are off the table. Everything else except classical while
Burn
writing.
The rest of them. Burn them. All right. On
Mary,
to the next. Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona rounding out our callers in the first set. I think that was a pretty solid kickoff to the year and to the show.
It really was.
I'm really happy with it. But now. The time has come.
The walrus said.
To talk of many things.
Of shoes and wax and, no, shoes of tacks and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings.
All right. And we're going to go to the poet of the month. Yeah, poet of the month.
I'm breaking that button. I am finding that button and blowing it up.
It's the red one that says song that makes Michael annoyed.
There's a lot of red ones that say that.
He's got the Walker Texas Ranger lever over there, if I remember correctly. All right. So as we do every month, we do three clues for a poet. And we don't say who it is. We do it for a couple weeks, three clues each week. And then on the third week, we will announce who that poet is. And then we'll have an extra week in case you want to bring something in and read from them. But you'll get little bits of autobiographical information as we go along. If you can guess who the poet is, send us a message, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, something like that. Don't post in the chat room. If you think you know, we'll tell you yes or no if you got it right. If you do have it right, before we announce it, the first person will get to choose a song for me to do on the following month's Studio X segment. So if someone gets this month, it'll be the February one that I would do it on. Okay, so here are our three clues. Number one.
Uno.
Windy is the city of the big shoulders. Number two.
B.
These pretzels sure are marvelous. And number three.
Tres.
It's a good morning in America. By the way, these aren't that hard, guys. This last month was rough. I'm being nice with this one. All right, so those are your three clues for this month.
Don't say it.
I have to.
No, you don't. They know what it is.
Poet of the month.
Ugh. He is so lucky. He's cute.
Do you know? Do you ever see the movie Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell?
Okay, who am I married to?
Well, I know.
Because that is like the dumbest question. Okay.
Well, no, it's bringing it up so everyone else is thinking about it too.
Yeah, okay.
Where he's trying to read the spell, but he doesn't want to say the words because.
Hey, wait a minute. Here goes JT.
Klaatu.
Yeah.
Verata. Necktie. Nickel. Nectar. definitely an N word.
This is how I feel when I try not to say poet of the.
Oh. Okay, his finger is hovering.
Macaroni and cheese. All right. So we're going to be getting ready to head into the next segment. We need five more callers. Give us a call. 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here in the second segment. We've got some great callers lined up here. But first, we're going to start with a submission. And really quickly before I read it, I was reading through the submission here. And you'll understand when I read it, it kind of caught me. And so I kind of looked some things up. And this is a pretty heavy one. So this is from Steve Janka, whose wife, Linda, passed away on December 26, 2018. This is called Linda's Eulogy by Steve. I met Linda in high school on my way to Spanish class in the 11th grade. She walked past me and said, "Hi, Steve," and then she was gone. Every day I looked forward to Spanish class to find out more about this person I'd never met before. One, she always made me laugh by her yelling at the TV when the news or politics was being shared. Two, she also yelled at bad drivers quite often, and her favorite word for people who put us in danger was morons. Three, once on a plane, a college basketball team was flying behind us on the other side. The announcement was made to turn off all devices during takeoff. One player, the tallest, was told three times by a stewardess. Linda turned around and confronted him. He continued turning his phone on and off when the young lady was walking by. For the next 5 minutes, Linda scolded this big guy and finally said, "Your parents must be proud of you, and where is your coach?" The whole team was laughing now, and I wasn't sure where this was going to go. A man sitting next to us was getting nervous, thinking the whole team was going to jump us. He left and changed seats to an empty one up front. He gives me a look like, "Does she know what she's doing?" And I gave him a look that said, "She's not backing down." The basketball player backed down and was shamed into apologizing when we landed. He even offered to shake hands with Linda, which she did, and she said, "No hard feelings. Have a nice day." Number five, life is different now, but I have a great hope of reuniting again one day, according to God's word, which I believe. And that was Linda's Eulogy by Steve Janka. So, Steve, I think I can speak for all of us here. Our deepest condolences to you and to your family. We love you. Thank you for that. And we're here for you. And, you know, please keep sending us stuff. If you feel like expressing stuff, we're here for you anytime. All right. Let's go to, I think this is a really good guy to go to next, actually. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Hello. How are you,
Friday
sir?
Friday night?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm doing all right. Yeah, that was a very somber poem I just followed, but I was going to try to pick it up a little bit.
All right. All right.
I don't mean to offend anybody.
Oh, it's not. It's not. It's we. You know, it was something that when we were reading it as it was set up, thought, okay, we need to give that the respect it really deserves. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But here we are, Dennis, and I'm happy to hear your voice. Did you have a good Christmas and New Year's?
Yes, I did.
Wonderful.
And a very good one. And wonderful. I'm glad you're back.
I'm happy to be back too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have a new poem I wrote today. It's a little bit rough around the edges. I'm going to have to work on it. But because of its subject, I'd like to read it tonight the way it is. It's not its in its finished state yet, but it's going to have some reworking. But it doesn't have a title. If anyone wants to suggest a title, they can. And I always look for good suggestions. So this is my poem for the evening. On the eve of New Year's Day, I got up and walked away from one that I had loved so dear. My eyes are now so close to tears. Our long relationship was so sweet. Now my lips are in retreat from the one I truly love. Graceful was my special dove. I do regret this sad decision. My commitment won't allow revision. You were always in good form and taste. Never made fun of my enlarging waist. Now I must learn to live without. I'll probably whimper and probably pout. But as now I shrink away from you, your sweet memory will have to do. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now about my sanity, I must wonder. My resolve was not the sweet solution to give up chocolate as a resolution. End of poem.
Dennis, I really like that one. What did you guys think? I feel like I'm talking a whole lot. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, you have to make up for, you know,
a week
not saying anything last week.
Gags the whole time.
But he made a really good footstool.
You know, I don't think anybody has ever said, Michael, you're being so quiet. What's wrong?
It's usually you're asleep.
Dennis, I actually really did enjoy that. I really did it.
You're cracking me up with the waistline increasing, uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people just looked down at their waists and went, yeah.
True. Dennis, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I've given up chocolate other years. And then when I take it back up, the love affair starts all over again.
Oh, yeah.
So I may be on hiatus, but it won't be forever.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, Happy New Year, everyone, and God bless.
Happy New Year, and God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. I'm just going to have this image now of Dennis like 6 months from now standing there holding a chocolate bar going, I can't quit you.
Like whispering sweet nothing. I love you. So milky chocolate.
See, I don't have that problem with chocolate. I have that problem with tacos. I'll be like, oh. I can't quit this.
Sorry, that was loud. Okay.
All right. So
I can just see it rolling up to Taco Bell and like looking like a meth addict going, I need like 5 tacos and hot sauce.
I can't quit them.
I'm rubbing my arms for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the taco and it's just like
just to wrap it. Yeah. All right.
Oh wow.
Well, this is getting into after dark.
breathe, Christine. Breathe. Okay. All right. So we're gonna go to a place that is safe from the scourge of taco addiction, Connecticut. Let's go to Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Christine.
We're going to go to a place to escape from the scourge of taco addiction. Oh. Connecticut.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that the best intro you've ever had, Barbara?
Good form tonight, yeah. We got plenty Taco Bells up here.
All right, fine.
No. Dennis said he was giving up chocolate, but I could never give up chocolate. I mean, that's like giving up my life almost to give up chocolate. I mean, I couldn't, absolutely couldn't. So not even going to think about it. And what I have for you tonight, and by the way, Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
And hope you had a good one. We had a quiet one, so.
Those are good ones.
I mean, it was quiet, but we did have a horn, each of us, and I made my daughters blow it. At midnight, we blew it.
Now, when you're saying a horn, did you? I know this is not what you mean, but please tell me it was like one of the 8 feet, like.
Thing. Yes.
Really?
Yes. It was a paper horn.
Oh, okay.
Had to just go and blow into. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I think I want to get like the horn of Gondorf.
It's a cavalry charge. All right.
Exactly.
All
yes.
I can
no,
think about with you talking about that is from Batman with Jack Nicholson going, "This town needs an enema."
So, which is the really weird part. I've said that phrase so many times. Okay. All right, Barbara. I'm gonna clear the stage for you because I'll just keep going here.
Okay. So this is from the poem that I was supposed to write like 2 weeks ago but didn't for the garden. And the prompts were cantankerous and peaceful. And the picture prompt was from Charles Dickens, and it was from A Christmas Carol. And basically, it's the photo of the two children, Ignorance and Want. So with that in mind, I actually finished this poem while people were reading here. So I started it earlier. It's called Ignorance and Want Are the Result of Evil. Evil sometimes hides within. Sly and cunning, it slithers out when the world is in turmoil. It touches the innocent as they scramble to exist despite the torment of their lives. It inflicts upon children a sense of despair and delusion as they become pawns in the endless games evil devises to keep itself alive. One of these is to keep people ignorant, for ignorance allows its poison to fester inside of empty minds that have no food from the environments in which they reside, no books to stuff knowledge into those so hungry for the seeds of wisdom only gleaned from the words of those who came before them. The cantankerous old souls who have lived in this void existence all their lives do not impart anything to anyone except how to attract evil with their ways. They ignore the wanting and shield themselves from the world of the learned, since they know not what it is they need to learn. In the anything but peaceful world of these broken souls, they strive to find a way to gain more and more from the world without realizing they are the reason they are where they are. Many go penniless, but still ignorant, drinking their lives away as the world slips by them, and they search for a way to find salvation as their lives ebb. But some accrue the spoils of using evil for gain, and still remain clueless. It is a curse to go without education. And so they remain open to the evil of those slithering beings who prey upon the ignorant and praise the ones who exploit the ones in want. It is the unceasing striving for learning that will keep you from the bowels of that soulless life. And it is the gathering of the educated that will bring about a peaceful coexistence of the people in this world. End poem.
That was a very thoughtful piece. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I live in this world in which evil has sort of taken a hold, and I'm trying very, very hard.
Yeah.
To live with someone who has embraced evil, so it's mainly about that, but also about the ceaseless, endless destruction of people who are, you know, innocent. And, you know, there is some good in the world, but right now I think there's a little more evil than there is good. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. So that's all I can say.
Well, thank you. Thank you for
your
piece.
Oh, you're welcome. And you know, I love having Christine on with you guys. She, you know, she's a balance to you, really. And did miss you last week, you know.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I was feeling a little bit like...
Okay, that's one.
I was getting feeling like chopped liver over here.
One missed you.
Well, you know, Michael has been on my program, so, you know, I kind of feel a bond with him. But anyway, okay. I'm going to get off the phone and let the next person get on.
Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, land of enchantment. Okay, now we're going to go to Stan.
Stan them on.
I say that with many states, and JT's response is always this. Even when I do it right, I think when I do it right, you're like, thank you, finally. You know, it's one of those.
Pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go now to Stan in Alabama. Hello, Stan. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Michael, and I'm going to help you out.
Okay.
I'm going to say I missed you, too. Now, there you are, chocolate.
Thank
now you. Now you have a cracker, and now you're a canapé.
We have now made Michael pate.
Now I'm a real boy. Okay.
Wow.
I went really somewhere I didn't expect it to. Anyway, Stan, how were the holidays?
The holidays were very uneventful, and I am grateful for it.
Very good. Very good to hear.
Smooth, quiet, loved it.
Wonderful. That is nice. So what do you have for us?
Well, I decided to dig up an old one. I haven't done this one in a bit. And it's strange in a kind of a weird sense. It kind of goes along with what Barbara was doing, except this one is a little less thoughtful.
Okay.
This is more of a complaint.
Ruh-roh.
And this is going to be coming from a fellow who's been around a while, so he's got a bit of an attitude.
Okay.
And it's called Cranky Assed. Sun ain't up yet, aching my bones, stumbling to the bathroom, my porcelain throne, not listening to the news, never any damn good, people acting like asses, can't do as they should, political liars, forgetting their maker, accused the poor of being the takers, well over there, well over yonder, we're everywhere. Who's counting their dollars? This child abused, that woman beat. Tears fall like rain, blood and hate in the streets. Coffee on the make. This damn well ain't right. Slogging through a sea of shit just to find a little light. But somewhere in my mind, a child's face, eyes wide, sunshine smile, head tipped to one side. Hey, you old fart. It's a brand new day. Did you forget about me? Get your ass up. Let's play. Coffee feels and tastes good. Sun starts to appear. Colors start to look brighter. The air is sweet and clear. Yeah, world's full of shit. But found me some light through my own inner child. Guess things might be all right. Lord willing, good morning and peace.
That was fun.
It really was, yeah. Yeah.
All I can see is Audrey Hepburn. Y'all, Pope.
You mean Catherine Hepburn.
Catherine Hepburn. I'm sorry.
Audrey Hepburn would be deliver that line very differently.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the Hepburns now.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. No, Stan, that was really enjoyable, and as always, a great read as well. Thank you.
Oh, hey, my pleasure, and love having all three of you back in there doing this. It's great to hear it.
We're happy to be here.
You guys work so well off each other.
We've been doing this a little while, too.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. A return engagement? Are you going to be coming back for it?
Yes, sir. I will be back for the return engagement.
Fantastic.
Thank you for this format, and on to the next.
Hey, you got it, Stan. Thanks so much. And that was Stan calling from Alabama.
Tweet home, Alabama.
Now, we got to do something. This is a new thing that we're going to do. So we finally, Christine, you went out. You got us some sponsors.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
Now, I didn't get to listen to the spot on the show last week.
Really?
No, I didn't. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. So I'm really excited to hear about this. We have like a sponsor segment, right?
Yep. You ready?
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hot dog!
Yep. That's
yep.
That's it.
Look at what you told her.
Well, so you just made a list of words that they said during the meeting, and
no, those are the words they gave me.
You just asked him for a list of words.
Yep.
Well, that was a word from our sponsors. Way to go, Christine.
Hey,
way to execute.
You give me a job, you tell me what to do, follow through.
She's great with the old metaphors, isn't she?
you do have to keep in mind where I now work.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to kind of work with
the government.
You got to be really
very direct.
Really direct.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough.
And we take it very direct, and if you deviate off of that or you mean something, you got to push it right back in.
Yeah.
So the word from our sponsors is hot dog. Happens to be a favorite word of mine.
See?
I actually got some emails because I told some kids.
That's what it's all about. Hot dog.
I told some kids that I was teaching, you know, back before Christmas break, my favorite color was cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Apparently, they've all been telling their parents this, and they're sending me emails. I just want to tell you, that's hilarious. I'm like, what? That's like, I didn't even think about it. I wouldn't have remembered I said it unless it. I got to watch myself. Anyway, okay. So now that we've had a word from our sponsors, it is time for the poetic form of the month. Yep.
He's got one for that, too?
He's got one for everything. Everything.
You know, I'm working on trying to aerosol Xanax.
Ooh.
Works better than mace. Just,
I'm just picturing all the kids coming into my room.
I didn't say like Lysol, you know, just like an inhaler. Just.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like Lysol.
No.
That would be amazing.
Could you imagine
spray happiness?
It's better happy. Living through higher chemistry.
It's happy spray. Okay, so here is our JT. Please don't play the music. Poetic form of the month. Son of a from January 2019. Here we go. It's called Gazelle, a short lyrical poem that arose in Urdu. It's between 5 and 15 couplets long. Each couplet contains its own poetic thought, but is linked in rhyme that is established in the first couplet and continued in the second line of each pair. The lines of each couplet are equal in length. Themes are usually connected to love and romance, and the closing signature often includes a poet's name or an allusion to it. If you go to worldpoetryopenmic.net and you see the Poetic Form of the Month link, click on that. I have linked it up so you can read more about it and read some examples and things like that.
So it's called Godzilla?
No, it's Gazelle. Godzilla is, however, a poet.
You know what? We should
come up with a poet of destruction.
We should come up with a poetry form called Godzilla instead of Gazelle.
And so it's like you write it, but everything, no matter what you write, is pronounced. Okay. All right. At least that made GT laugh, but I think we're just losing everybody with the stuff.
Yeah, now they're going, maybe it's not good that the three of them are together again.
Oh, no. Michael's back, and he brought a sense of humor with him. All right, so we're going to be heading now to the return engagement segment. This is not the After Dark segment. This is just return engagement. It's part of the main show. Anybody who wants to call in, you can. Anybody who wants to call back in, you can. 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here in the return engagement segment. Okay. So I actually was really enjoying.
You forgot to say something?
Well, no, I was enjoying the music in that break there too. So the music in there is actually not Greek, but is in the first song he did is actually it's a mixture of a lot of things, but it's considered gypsy, kind of like Eastern European, Ukrainian, Russian music, and then tied in with punk music.
Oh, okay.
Called Gogol Bordello. Fantastic group. Really different. And I would recommend checking them out for other stuff. But that's also an album they did with Rick Rubin, who is...
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. You get it.
I definitely do.
I think a lot of people know who Rick Rubin is.
Pee-wee Herman?
No. That is a different Herman.
That's Paul
Rubens.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Kind of the black sheep of the Rubin family.
I like Rubens. They're good. Especially right around, St. Patty's Day.
But honestly, for me, it's the MLT, the mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Where the mutton is nice and lean. It's just so perky. I love that. Anyway, so we've got how many?
Think it'll like.
All right, so we have six great callers lined up here for the return engagement. We also have a submission we're going to get into. Once we finish this segment, we're going to end World Poetry Open Mic proper. We will do a short kind of break where we come back into the After Dark segment. Then we'll do the call-in for that. So don't call in during the break between the two shows. I'm right on that, right, JT? Boom, right there. Awesome. I love it.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He has a button for everything else, but he doesn't for this?
No, well, he has. It's called a mouse.
No. For the return engagement.
Oh, no, he's got stuff. So you want to hear? You want to play the return engagement theme?
You ready?
Ready? Here we go. The return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. See what we can do when we try.
excuse me.
All right.
Okay.
Before we get into this, though, I'm going to do the submission here, okay? And this is from Steve Barry, and he said that he was going to call tonight, but he has a throat issue and his cough is still horrible, so he refuses to see a doctor because he knows they'll tell him only to give up the smokes. So here's a piece for consideration. This is called Grandfather's Dream. Mine is the hunger, and mine the thirst. Mine the weary journey along the unknown path. Mine the back bent by the burden of carrying your dreams. Those dreams you formed in youth and packed away with care, lovingly tended to in the steerage to deposit upon those western shores your portion of the sojourn done. All these years later, expectations made unasked and duties assumed unknowingly, I trudge the path you visioned but never saw, my feet in your boots along the Yankee road. And that was from Steve Barry. That was Grandfather's Dream. Thank you, Steve. It's a beautiful piece. It really was. Knowing that his family seems to come very, from the same town my Irish family comes from, pretty remarkable. Thank you, Steve.
And I will say it because he doesn't want to hear a doctor say it. So the nurse will say it. Give up the smoking.
Hey, you know what? We're the three people in the room. I've never smoked, but two people in here, they did, and they gave it up.
Yep. Right?
There we go. Steve, I'm not coming down on you about it, but there you go. There's the point. There's our PSA for the day. All right. So, wonderful Steve. We're going to move on here, though. We're going to head now to the UK, once again, for Titus.
Good day.
Good day. Is it day or is it still night?
Curtains are still closed.
I would assume so. Yes. All right. So, you feeling a little bit better? A little bit more awake now?
Oh, much better. I wish my mouth is more moist. That's the thing.
Okay. Yes,
I've actually done a photo for this show that I've just rummaged the archives and just put a pin in and just picked one out. So, it's a sonnet. It's called A Pretty Pink Inlaid, and what it is, I don't know if you remember, in nightclubs they used to have someone come around with all roses.
Yeah.
There was always beautifully red, perfect, no thorns, nothing. And I do believe that life is not like that, or relationships. You've got to have little snags and things like that in your life to actually make it work, I feel. And this is what this sonnet is about. It's called A Pretty Pink Inlaid. A rose hue red from white grew pink between. Had love's foundation, you a scent would draw. Though closer still, it dwells on what before we'd look out for. Thorns that if they're seen, how play and coy can beauty gift one wise. With rose in hand, you're wearing what will snag. Besides the petal layers there's comprise, between those mosier lesions skin will drag. The colour moods themselves present, a meek yet wild cacique behind the dormant scenes. 'Tis red for find attractions white should seek. Aromas least distract you making screens. How whereabouts you go, 'tis pink for maid, the laden weight which beauty has inlaid. End of poem.
That's Christine doing the.
Sorry, I was getting a drink
there.
Of water.
Titus, wonderful, thank you.
It reminds me of those the artists' boards when they're mixing the inks, the paints together.
No, I can absolutely see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
lovely.
That's a croaky Titus going off now.
Titus, feel better, and we'll talk to you next week. Okay, thanks for everything.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Titus Cohen from the UK kicking off the call-in part of the return engagement. Next, we're going to head to Cleveland.
Oh, good. He doesn't hit it every time you say that?
No.
No, he doesn't. That's a different – it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But now we're going to go to Cleveland, Ohio to
Next,
talk
we're
to Mama.
Head to Cleveland.
He doesn't hit it every time you say that?
Hello, Mama. How's it going?
Hello. I'm pretty well now.
All right, good. Happy to hear that.
I would like to know if you would like to hear the flautist with flute music, or would you like to hear a tragic comedy about the meaningful mourners, the people that come to your funeral and don't even know you and they mourn?
I, you know, those are both great choices, but let's go with the second one. I think the second one sounds fascinating to me.
Okay. It's called The Meaningful Mourners. And these are some countries, people go to your funeral. I know it's a lot of times they do it here too, but it's prevalent in a lot of different countries, and especially in Africa. And it's called The Meaningful Mourner. As you say farewell, we are called in to mourn our fallen warriors. Profoundly, we scream out gut-wrenching noises. We weep deep for you, your pain, your loss. We take on the sorrows of the living. We express our screeching regrets. The receivers of their souls in the seventh realm hear us. We are the meaningful mourners. We curse the murderers of our issues like angry water bashes upon the shore. Those who were in our care will know from the ethereal to the depths of gravity. We who are the mourners, we who act the fool at funerals with such disdain, we mourn for their souls, yet may not know their earthly names. We are the meaningful mourners, and we weep for you as you say farewell. They have heard us. We have also stood up in their honor. They have whispered, I love you, veins pumping in stressful pain to a mother's heart, a loved one's heart. We are the meaningful mourners. We raise the roof and make noise. Guilty ears are deafened from our rage. We fall on floors engaged in fits enraged. Meaningful mourners, we be the buffers between the here and the now and the beyond. We cry to the universe. Universal Creator, we feel for you when your countenance looks numb. In peace.
I really enjoyed it, Mom. I really did.
Thank you.
I've often thought about that. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but I sit there and I think about the idea of my funeral, and I'm like, I hope everybody has fun because I don't really have any intention of really attending.
Oh Lord.
Well, and I don't mean it like that. I mean it like. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I would be curious to go. After I passed away, I think I would just kind of be like, let's just go on to the next thing. Let's move on, please.
Well, it's like you look around at a loved one's funeral, and my daughter had a big memorial, you know, and you just see people just acting, just going off, you know, just. Stop mourning and say, who is that?
Well, and the thing I love is where like, people start assigning, people who didn't really connect with the person at all start assigning virtues that they have no knowledge of. You know,
right.
He was just the most giving guy ever. It's like, who are you talking about? Like, who is this person? He stole my socks all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, you look around and you see all these people just mourning and crying and weeping and wailing and...
I feel like some people just get really affected. Probably just get really affected by the whole thing too. My theory is always I want to spend time with the people before they pass away too. I'd rather spend the energy before the funeral.
Right.
You know.
Right. So the family can know that you're. I'm a friend, at least, you know. Yeah. I just thought it was so funny, you know, just kind of not funny, like a tragic comedy, you know. Cause
hey, I'm all about gallows humor, Mama. I'm all about gallows humor. It just fits me so well. All right, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we love you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
You know, the only way we're going to know if ever you leave us before we do.
Is when there's silence?
No, is when the person looks at us and goes, oh, God, he was such a jerk. We'll go, yeah, you knew Michael.
So you're saying people are going to come to my funeral just to make sure, is what you're saying?
Are you sure did you poke him with a stick?
I have this life goal now. I've realized I was thinking about this the other day because the Rolling Stones are coming to
Denver
this next summer, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, here's the thing, I like the solo stuff they do independently, and maybe this is sacrilege, but I just can't really get into the Rolling Stones. I don't think they're that remarkable of a group, yet they're gigantic. They've had this massive career. They are so lucky. Like the amount of times those guys should have been in jail for 20 years for like drug busts and stuff, and it never happened. I started thinking, these are just really, really lucky guys. You know what I mean? Who also play guitar.
Right.
You know? And but at the same time, it got me thinking, the amount of crap those guys did and they're still alive. Not that I'm going to even get into it, the stuff they did, because I don't really have a desire to. However, that's my goal. I just want to be able to be the guy who had like all the surgeries and all the stuff, but I'm still right at, you know, like 80, like, ha ha, suckers.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's and just you the need goal. To be cantankerous, because somehow.
Disagreeableness.
Some way, cantankerous people.
Stubborn.
Just, oh.
Stubborn people.
Oh, they hold on.
No, that's great. I think that that's it. Actually, apparently being disagreeable means statistically you earn more money as well.
Oh, wonderful.
So now we got to be, JT, we just got to be jerks, man. We're going to live a long time and make a lot of money. No one's going to like us. But
I've worked so hard at just trying to be a nice guy.
I know, man.
You know, it's what's sad is, and it's, I love
it's
you,
okay.
honey.
It's all right.
I really do. But the moment you would even try and be a jerk to me, I would just start laughing.
I know.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. Well, it's
you too.
Well, like Mama saying that he allows you to be you, and he does. I
oh,
mean,
because
yeah. JT loves you for who you are. However, the thing I didn't say that I was going through my mind is I'm like, I'm thinking he's got a choice about Christine being who Christine is. You know, and
well,
that's a
that
compliment
too.
To you. That's a compliment yeah. to you. Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving. Let's go down to someone who we absolutely love. My favorite person in Arizona. Let's go to Mary.
Yes.
Hello,
all
Mary.
This camaraderie and loveliness. Yes.
Well, we hope everybody else feels included. Otherwise, we're just being jackasses for no reason.
I think it's all inclusive here tonight.
All right. Good. Good. So what do you have for us this time?
I'm going to do another roomie because I'm kind of a roomie-holic.
Yeah, me too.
And I moved. See, I'm in a new place now, and I'm actually in my bedroom. I'm actually in my bed because it's warmer.
Hey.
And I'm eating my little dinner because my whole body is so bruised. My legs are so, they have more bruises. I look like a giraffe. So I'm going to read this little roomie poem. I said before that every craftsman searches for what's not there to practice his craft. A builder looks for the rotten hole where the roof caved in. A water carrier picks the empty pot. A carpenter stops at the house with no door. Workers rush towards some hint of emptiness, which they then start to fill. Their hope, though, is for the emptiness, so don't think you must avoid it. It contains what you need. Dear soul, if you were not friends with the vast nothing inside, why would you always be casting your net into it and waiting so patiently? This invisible ocean has given you such abundance, but still you call it death. That which provides you sustenance and work. God has allowed you some magical reversal to occur so that you see the scorpion pit as an object of desire and all the beautiful expanse around it as dangerous as swarming with snakes. This is how strange your fear of death and emptiness is, and how perverse the attachment to what you want. Now that you've heard me on your misapprehensions, dear friend, listen to Attar's story on the same subject. He strung the pearls of this about King Mahmud, how among the spoils of his Indian campaign there was a Hindu boy whom he adopted as a son. He educated and provided royally for the boy, and later made him vice-regent, seated on a golden throne beside himself. One day he found a young man weeping. Why are you crying? You're the companion of an emperor. The entire nation is ranged out before you like stars that you command. The young man replied, I'm remembering my mother and father and how they scared me as a child with threats of you. Uh-oh, he headed for King Mahmud's court. Nothing could be more hellish. Where are they now, and when will they see me sitting here? This incident is about your fear of changing. You are the Hindu boy in Mahmud, which means praise to the end, the spirit's poverty or emptiness. The mother and father are your attachment to beliefs and blood ties and desires and comforting habits. Don't listen to them. They seem to protect, but they imprison. They are your worst enemies. They make you afraid of living in emptiness. Someday you'll weep tears of delight in that court, remembering your mistaken parents. Know that your body nurtures you, the spirit, helps it grow, gives it wrong advice. The body becomes eventually like a vest of chain mail from peaceful years. Too hot in summer, too cold in winter. But the body's desires in another way are like an unpredictable associate whom you must be patient with. And that companion is helpful.
because patience expands your capacity to love and to feel peace. The patience of a rose close to a thorn keeps it fragrant. It's patient that gives milk to the male camel still nursing in its third year. And patience is what the prophets show to us. The beauty of the careful sewing on a shirt is the patience it contains. Friendship and loyalty have patience as the strength of their connection. Feeling lonely and ignoble indicates you haven't been patient. Be with those who mix with God as honey blends with milk and say, anything that comes and goes, rises and sets, is not what I love. Else you'll be like a caravan fire left to flare itself out alone beside the road. That's it.
Very, very well done, Mary. Thank you.
It's hard to talk of attachments because we have them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel them. I love my attachments. But yeah. I think we have to ponder them a little bit deeper sometimes.
I think it's worth pondering, and it's worth really taking stock of what we're actually attached to. I think it's really easy to get caught in.
Yes, as
the illusion.
A human, we have to forgive ourselves as we get caught in all of our attachments. Sometimes we have to let go.
Yeah. You know, I just finished talking to my my brother who spends a lot of time. He has a family. You know, he has two kids and a wife, and he spends a lot of time touring. And he's talked about just recently, he just got rid of about 80% of the things that he personally owned. And because he just doesn't want to feel weighed down.
Oh, I did that, yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And
I got rid of the brother, too.
Oh, did you? You got rid of the brother, too? Well, I didn't do that, thankfully.
Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah.
Oh, understood. Understood. You know, and sometimes that's one of the most valuable things.
No.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
Right.
That's great thoughts. Yeah. Enjoy.
Next time. Oh, we're going to do an after dark.
We're going to be doing an after dark. Yeah.
Okay. All right. See you again.
All right. We will see you then. Thank you. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona.
All tucked in her bed.
All tucked in her bed. I don't know what that was. All right. Let's go to the home of the Romanian accent, Connecticut. JT, did that just blow your mind?
It did. That's great. Right. I like that.
That was a poison pill just for you.
We need to write that
down. All right. Barbara, how are
great
you?
Name of a band. Write it down.
How are you, Barbara?
Hi. I'm here. Ah. Yeah. I asked Dennis what I should read because Dennis is one of my biggest fans. And Dennis said I should read this poem. So it comes from my book, You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hal. And it's called Important Moments. How do we know what is important as our life sifts through each day? The moments pass by too quickly, some seeming so slight, and yet on second thought, those small moments appear as gems in our life. Not big ones like graduations or births. These are momentous and celebrated. But what if the times your eyes met and you knew you had someone who loved you across the room? When you spent the day on the sofa dozing and watching a baseball game with the one you love by your side, or the many times you held his hand and felt the joy of belonging with him, or the countless moments of bliss you never counted as the days passed, were these important? And did you let them slip by as you walked through life, like raindrops falling on you, and not knowing which one will cause your eyes to close with the splash? Unimportant moments that splashed you with a tiny drop at the time. End poem.
I really enjoyed that piece. You know, as I do a lot of the work from that book, you know, it's really effective stuff.
Well, Stan, I'll send you maybe one of these for Poems of Loss. For next week, because this is one of the poems of loss of that particular. That's the segment with the poems of loss that I wrote, you know, after he
died, and loss is like something you don't even think about. It's like those unimportant moments, you know, you don't think that you're...
Okay. Yeah.
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 So anyway, I'm going to get off the phone, and maybe not, I don't know. I'll see if I have something for the...
Okay.
Okay.
And it's been a great show.
Thank you.
And so I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Barbara.
All right.
Thank
you. All right. Have a good week.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut. It's an effective piece.
Yeah.
An affecting piece as well. All right. We're going to go now to Pennsylvania, the place where they only use crayons, ironically. Jim, you're going to have to give us a call back. It sounds like we're having that Skype issue. I can some reason hear it on my
I can hear it too.
You can hear it too. Yeah. So, Jim, if you can hang up, give us a call back. Stan, you're going to have to do the same thing likely. So if you want to hang up, you can. Just give us a call when it is your turn.
And we'll take you live.
We will take you. We'll do it live.
Ready?
We're doing it, people. Right. Oh, sorry.
Here we go.
It was
ready?
Really fast. Yeah, he's quick.
Hey, Jim. Welcome back.
Beignet.
What?
Hey, what you gonna do, brother?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, what am I gonna say about this? I heard an interview with Jake the Snake recently, talking about him. It's interesting.
Well, you know, Hogan's gonna be on Raw this Monday.
Oh boy, again?
He's going to be doing a tribute to Gene Okerlund.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right.
Yeah, well, it's, I think either Okerlund inducted Hogan or into the Hall of Fame or vice versa. But yeah, all those moments with Hogan and Mean Gene over the years.
Oh, yeah. That'll be good. I may have to watch that or record it at least.
You're gonna.
Definitely gonna watch it. It's just that segment should be worth it.
Yep, that's all I'm gonna watch it for too. Is just that.
You're not into professional wrestling much?
Not anymore.
Not after all those years of you doing sound for wrestling.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I
kind of killed it for me.
I haven't touched it in a real, real long time. But just you know.
If nobody knew anything about what you guys were talking about,
right.
It literally sounded like it was talking about meth.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I haven't touched it in a long time.
Well, I actually have. I've never touched that ever, so let's just be honest. All right. Anyway. All right. So, Jim. So, what do you have for us?
Well, it's one that Stan. It's one of mine that Stan read on the Hurt Locker. This past Tuesday. So it's How the Abuse Begins. I long for you to caress my cheek, but will settle for your backhand if that's the only way you'll touch me because you want to. End of poem.
Very, very nice, Jim.
Thank you. I would have called in on Tuesday, but for some reason, my phone carrier won't let me call Iowa.
Well,
I don't get it.
There's a reason for that. Statistically, Pennsylvania and Iowa have really had a lot of relational problems. So I just kind of figured if they put a natural block in, then they're going to keep the imminent revolution from happening for a while.
Everybody hike up your pants.
And hide your pets.
Okay,
hold on. Oh, my goodness. I can't. My belly's too wide.
All right. Hey, Jim, thanks so much. Very appreciated.
Thank you.
And I don't know if you're coming back during the After Dark thing, but if not, we will talk to you next time, okay?
Well, yeah, definitely next week.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Jim Kahn from Pennsylvania.
All right. Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, Stan, give us a call back, please. These Skype issues, man. JT, if we're calling customer support on Skype, do you call them over Skype? I'm sure you can.
You can.
What if your Skype's not working?
But no. If it works and they go, well, you need to reboot it. I'm on Skype.
Has that actually happened, though?
Yes. Yes.
Well, maybe they're saying, hey, reboot it and then see if it works, though, is what they're really saying.
Oh, that's what they always tell me.
That's what you tell everyone, Mr. IT Man. But you know, have you turned it on
but
and
the
off?
The thing is, you should be like, hey, I just rebooted, and this is the issue.
I do that.
Oh, you do that now?
Yeah.
Hey, we have Stan.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Hey, Stan.
No cheap shots in the clinches. Go to your neutral corners.
All right. Sorry, sir. Thank you, sir.
Cheap shot central over here.
Get my bow tie and my shirt ready here.
All right. Hey, are you wearing the actual bow, or is this one of those T-shirts, like the sleeveless T-shirts with the...
He's the referee.
Oh, yeah.
For the boxing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ding, ding.
All right.
Uh-oh. Look out.
Oh, boy. So, Stan, what do you got for us this time?
Well, I figured I'd follow up with a piece that I wrote for that particular Hurt Locker, and it was about domestic violence. And Jim's piece was, wow. Yeah. It amazes me how much he can put into such a compact form. It really does. Hello.
Oh yeah, we're listening. We're listening. It is amazing that he can do that. It's really, but that seems kind of be. We all have our own styles. That seems to be Jim's. Brevity is the essence of Jim, as they would say.
That and Dilly Dilly.
That I think people have now caught on that my entire plan of it's not a thing was to completely blow Dilly Dilly out of proportion to. It was a plan that started way back when it first started. I'm going to blow this thing out of proportion. So it's worked very well. And Jim's done very well with that.
Yes. I'd say it was a success.
It was. It looks like it was.
Now all we need is you in a flight suit and a sign that says mission accomplished.
I'm working on that. I just need to be on an aircraft carrier, right? Hey, Photoshop. Photoshop, it's done.
As long as the front doesn't fall off.
Of the suit?
Okay, here we go.
All right. Stan, save us from ourselves, please. What do you got?
Okay. This was my piece for that particular broadcast, and the title is Why Is Mama Bleeding? Shouts, cries, and yells smash his ears. All run to the fires of his fears. Sis bolts to the door, 911's the neighbor's phone. Leaves him and Mama with the monster alone. He runs screaming to Mama to do whatever he can. He gets punished with the back of the monster's hand. The blow sends him flying back across the room. He curls, howling in a ball. Like within a fetal tomb. Why is Mama bleeding? Her tears are mixing with the splatter. Chairs splinter, tables crash, and the windows all shatter. He bolts up in bed, choking on a panic scream. A grown young man now, with night sweats and demon dreams. He keeps the monster caged. Constant battle in his mind. Fears that he could succumb to the rage, crossing that line. So goes to therapy for help in the answers he's needing. Like, did his monster dad as a boy ever ask why his mama was bleeding? In peace.
Mm-hmm. That was a powerful piece, huh?
Yes. Yes, you know, it was.
You see, I believe there were two very ugly inheritances that we get from those around us. One of them is prejudice and the other is rage.
Yeah, okay.
And they can be inherited.
Yeah, I've seen both be inherited, actually.
Yes.
Wow. That's a good point, too, Stan. I think I'm going to be thinking about that one for a while. But I think you're right. The prejudice, I mean, we kind of all know you can inherit prejudice, but inheriting rage can come in the form that you were talking about there, but it can come in multiple forms. And it can really be destructive to people's lives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that was a tough subject to go after, and the one we're coming up with this Tuesday is another one. But I think the other one we'll probably get more of a response to, because we're not just covering the idea of a loss of life. It's loss of love.
Sure.
The loss you feel because of someone's health issues.
Yeah.
Or even just the loss that a parent feels once that child grows up and finally moves on.
Sure, sure.
You know, this is a more universal subject, I think.
Well, I think to live is to suffer some sort of loss, right? I mean, at some point you can't live without losing in some respect. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, sir. No, really, I appreciate it, and we're. I think this is a great way for us to close the return engagement part, you know.
Yes, and on to After Dark.
All right. Hey, thank you, Stan. Appreciate it.
On to the next.
All right. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, Rinding.
Yep.
Rinding.
I like that.
The funny thing is right before I started talking, I had, for no explanation at all, for no reason at all, had an image of a wheel of cheese pop in my head for half of a second. And I said, rinding.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
There is something so wrong with you.
Okay, so that was Stan from Alabama winding up our return engagement segment. So we're going to be ending World Poetry Open Mic proper. Then we're going to do a short break, come back for the After Dark. So if you do not want to be privy to kind of the adult themed or darker themed stuff, we do the segment once a month, then you will know that that is the end of the show. So from myself, from JT, from Christine, from Ursa, the studio dog, and Novia, the studio cat, thank you so much. We will see you next time. And until then, keep on writing. Good night.